How many of y'all have been practicing the presence of God? That really works, doesn't it, y'all? We're so desensitized to the fact that Jesus is with us right now. He's not only in my heart, but he fills all in all, so he's here in this room too. And the tangible presence of God is here, but sometimes we're so inundated by the thoughts of this world and our part in it that we're oblivious to the saturation of the Holy Spirit around us. And by making myself aware of his presence, I've been experiencing more of his presence. Have any of you all? So I just encourage you to keep sensitizing yourself to the presence of God with us. He says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Is that true? If Fred was with me always to the end of this age, do you think I would be aware of Fred? I would absolutely be aware of it. That's right. You can't not be aware of Fred. Amen. So I would absolutely know he's with me, right? And the same thing with the Lord. When we are aware of him, we would really benefit from that relationship. Because when I get in the doldrums, it seems like the Lord is far off. It seems like I don't have what I've been believing for. And everything seems to be a labor out there. Anybody else experience that? Don't raise your hands. Oh, you didn't. Guess I'm the only one. All right. But if I will stir myself up in the Lord, then it just lifts me out of all of that minutia into the heavenlies, like they talk about on Thursday, to where I can start seeing things clearly again and definitely in the presence of the Lord. You all have been in rainy weather, right? If you were here today, you have been. And with that cloud covering, it's hard to tell that the sun's shining when the rain is falling on your face every time you look up. But if you were to get in a high enough altitude above the clouds, the sun would still be shining 100%. It's just the dynamics of the day has hidden the glory of the sun, right? And it's the same way in us. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit. How many of you in your Christian life would like to manifest more of the things of Jesus Christ? All right, we're going to talk about that today. Because I believe, this is my opinion, that our generation did not get discipled when we got born again. I believe we got born again and then left to ourselves to try to figure this thing out. And we were associating with a bunch of other people that were left to themselves trying to figure this thing out. And I think some things didn't take place in our generations that would have helped us tremendously to really walk in a lot more dynamic power of the Holy Spirit. Shall I share what it is? If you turn in your Bibles, let's start in Luke chapter 4. Thank you, Lord. Don't text me while I'm here, guys. Okay, Luke chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. Ready? Jesus was baptized in water, and this is where he has now been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and now he is being led by this Holy Spirit out into the wilderness, all right? Then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of y'all have been filled with the Holy Spirit? Me too. Returned from the Jordan. The Jordan actually is a river that they got baptized in. The Jordan means descender. So if you look in the Old Testament, when they crossed from the wilderness into the promised land, did you notice how the Jordan River dried up and backed up all the way to Adam, the city Adam? So what the Holy Spirit did was, thank you, Lord, by that happening, everything that we identify with before we got baptized in the Holy Spirit got removed all the way back to Adam. We're no longer of that genealogy. Now we're of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So when we went through into the promised land, now we're of Jesus Christ. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now we are spiritual beings fighting spiritual battles. In other words, the battle is not against the devil, but it is against somebody. So let's go on. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by who? Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Right after he got filled with the Holy Spirit, he got tempted by the devil for 40 days. 40 days of being bombarded by the devil. Let me just read the next verse. Being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards, when it had ended, he was hungry. Okay? So for 40 days, he's not eating any food. He's walking through the wilderness, just taking a country stroll. And the devil is attacking him for 40 days. How do you think that attack went? Do you think the devil got spears and started stabbing Jesus with spears? Do you think that he got a Mack truck and ran Jesus over? How did he attack Jesus? With his mind, exactly right. And when we don't eat food, we're much weaker, aren't we? We're much, much weaker when we don't eat food. And when we don't eat food and we're being tested by the devil, what's going on? A lot of stuff is going on. Identity crises, emotional breakdowns, crazy thoughts bombarding your head. Dark thoughts. Really, if the devil was really on you for 40 days straight, relentlessly, what is it he could possibly be doing to Jesus that is so causes him to afflict him so hard? What is the issue here? Because he was filled with the Holy Spirit? Is that why? Let's go to the next verse. Verse 3, and the devil said to him, this is key, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. What just happened here? What just happened here was, the devil was attacking Jesus in his earthly mind of who he was as an earth man, as a man of flesh and blood, being born to Mary and raised by Joseph, a man of the earth, right? A man from Nazareth and Bethlehem, a man who was a carpenter's son, a man who was around regular people his whole life. And so after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, what the devil attacked was, are you really the son or daughter of God? That's the whole issue here. Are you the son or daughter of God? If you do not accept that you're the son or daughter of God, then life becomes very difficult. You're in an in-between state where you can't be of the world because it grieves you, but you don't have the confidence to walk as Jesus on the earth either. So you're in this quasi-middle ground where we don't see a lot of spiritual activity in the way of miraculous signs and wonders happening in our lives. Are you with me? So Jesus went on. So he got attacked, first of all, to maybe he'd turn some stones into loaves of bread. Verse 5, then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. What did he just do? He re-identified with God the Father. He's constantly reaffirming his relationship and identity in God with the devil, who's trying to give him earthly things, earthly rewards, earthly glory. Going on to verse 7. Therefore, verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. See, he's playing the same trick Jesus was playing. He's rolling it on Jesus. Now he's starting to quote scriptures. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God, or test the Lord your God. This angered the devil a little bit, and he said, now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Stop. So what's going on here is for 40 days, the devil is attacking Jesus in his mind, because that's the only thing he could do. Jesus never sinned, so there's no sickness that could be in his flesh. So there's no way the devil had entrance there. So all he could do was get him in his mind, right? So the whole time the devil was attacking his identity of who he was, the whole time. He's no different with you and me. He's no different at all than you and me. Who do we say we are? How do we think of ourselves? At what class or level are we at? Do we believe that we are not of this earth, but that we are of God's kingdom of heaven from above? Which reality do we live in right now while we walk upon the dust of the ground? How do you see yourself? Are you earthly or are you heavenly? Look at this after it finished. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding regions. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. Jesus, after he was completely tempted and the devil could not attack him in his mind anymore, it didn't work because Jesus was completely solidified in who he was, then he walked in dynamic power and healing all who came to him, all who were sick and all who were diseased, didn't he? The only time he had trouble was when he got to a region where their unbelief was so terrible because their hearts were so hardened that he could only heal a few sick people because they had so much unbelief in that city. You know what? Natural Christians, all we're able to do is just maybe heal a few sick people because of all the unbelief that is in us and in others. It's an epidemic proportion because I believe that our generation didn't get discipled the way we should have. Like Jesus took his disciples under his wing and spent 3.5 years with them, showing them, talking to them, explaining things to them, and teaching them a whole different way of looking at things, an entirely different way of looking at who they are and what the world is around them. Go with me to John chapter 17. So Jesus was attacked in his character. He was attacked in his mind. He was attacked by the devil. Do you know, I'm just going to give you a little tidbit while you're looking, going to John 17. The devil has no authority to make you do anything. None. Because if he did, he could have easily pushed Jesus off of that pinnacle. Couldn't he? Just push the guy, take him up there, and just push the guy right off the pinnacle. Couldn't he? If he could physically do that to a person, if he could physically handle you, he would. He can't. He has no right because you are sons and daughters of God. And he is a liar and a thief. He probably wouldn't have even given Jesus all this wealth that he had. He would have said, like all the TV shows you watch where the bad guy's promising the guy the world. And then when the guy goes against his good morals and good character and does the evil thing to get so-and-so freed or so-and-so delivered or whatever the need was. The evil person always denies him the very treasure that they promised. I believe the devil would have done the very same. As soon as Jesus bowed to him, it's over. He won. He never did. He knew to never give him one inch. And where is it that we have to fight the devil? In our minds, the way we think, the way we see things, how we identify ourselves. Jesus did not walk in the power on the earth until he got all the testing out of the way and the identity so he couldn't be shaken anymore. He got it out of the way and then he got it dealt with. None of us, I don't expect many of us, if any of us, as soon as we got saved, fasted for 40 days just to put the flesh down. And I'm not thinking God's even asking us to do that. But what I do realize is this, is that I'm going to change where we're going to go. I want to go to a different place. Where's that? It's in Peter. It's in 2 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter. It's in 1 Peter 1. Let's go there first. God is so good, you guys. God is so, so good that he gave us so much that we didn't earn. We don't deserve it. It's the grace of God. We got born again as a gift of God. We've been given his spirit as a gift of God. We've been given his name to exercise with all power and all authority. We are citizens of heaven. We're born from above. We're new creations. Old things have passed away and everything's been made new inside of us. We're new creations. We're new creatures. We're a new kind of person on the earth. We are that. And our lives are hidden in Christ, right? We die to the old man. The old man is the old way of thinking. That's the one the devil's attacking, is the old man. He's attacking the old way of thinking because he wants you to operate in self-preservation, in pride, in dignity, in saving yourself, in being right, in being good enough, in all those things. That's where he gets you, where all that's supposed to be laid down and we walk in the mind of Christ, right? Amen. As a new creature, as an altogether different species of man. And as we do that, practice that, the devil's going to hit on us. And we got to know that testing is going to come, right? So here's what Peter says in 1 Peter, verse 13. He says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now that could mean when Jesus comes back again. Okay, it could mean that. But it also could mean when you personally receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, that you can start walking in that anointing that's been given to us. Right? So when we can do that, when we start rising up to be just like Jesus, then we can start seeing that stuff happening. So what we got to do is gird up the loins of our minds. That's the procreative place from where we think. Okay? The loins of a man, you know what that is. So that's the part of our mind that creates. And we have to take a hold of that because we don't want vain imaginations, idle thinking. We want to really be deliberate about our intention on who we are in Christ. Because I'll tell you this, when you get set that you are even as Jesus is in this world right now, you will see what you really believe about yourself when you start making those declarations. When you start speaking out loud, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It will overtake me. It will mow me down and consume me. Blessings. When I give, God's going to open the windows of heaven and blessings are overtaking my life. I'm anointed. I'm the chosen of God. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The devil has absolutely no power in my life whatsoever. When I start doing that kind of stuff, you just need to check out what you feel on the inside when you do that. What are your mind saying as you do that? Because I'll tell you what, there could be some doubt mixed in with all of that. That could be robbing you of the manifestation of the things of God. And we need to let that doubt be rooted out. Doubt, get it out. Amen. Get it out. Get out the doubt. Amen. Don't hunt down the doubt. Speak life. Put your attention on life. Put your heart on where you want to go. Put your mind on what you want to have. Then, when doubt crops up, you smack it down really quickly. But we have to get a clear vision of who we are in the Spirit. So we are here looking for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. So what we're doing is we are now walking by the Spirit, and we're renewing our mind to who we are in the Spirit, right? We're spiritual men and women of God. Look at verse 18. This is what we're rooting out of our minds. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions from your fathers. We have been redeemed from the fruitless way of seeing ourselves and living our lives that we were taught by our parents and our forefathers. Because the water backed up all the way to Adam when the Holy Spirit came. So everything that we got from Adam to this day that you got transformed is gone. And the Holy Spirit is our only identity now. He's our only identity now is the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus Christ who is in you and I. We are in Him, we're one with Him, and He's one with us, right? That's what the Bible says. So then we can declare openly that we are one with the Lord. But like I had to receive on my motorcycle, I received the grace to love my neighbor. I have to receive the revelation of this truth. Not just say it, but I need to actually receive that this is true for my life. I am as the Holy Spirit is. I am as Jesus Christ is. Now, I'm not replacing either one of them, nor do I grow up to void them out. It's a gift that's been given to me and to you because God is that great, that He's now diversified Himself through all of us, that we would declare to the principalities and the power the manifold wisdom of God, right? That's what we do, is we declare by us identifying with who we are in Christ. But it takes us being able to receive that truth that that's who I am. It's got to get into my heart. So I can declare it, and I can decree it, and I can say it, and I can read it, and I can hang out with people, and I can pray it, but it's got to come to the time to where the light goes on. That's me I'm talking about. Just like on my motorcycle, I received it, and it's like, bang, I got it, and everything changed. The very next day, my neighbor came out. My wife's getting ready to go work. Goes, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. She goes, doing good, just going to work. How you doing? And he goes, really good. And it's like, whoa, he's never done that before. Whoa, never. Just by receiving it. There's more in the Spirit than we really realize. Let me take you to another spot. If you're in 1 Peter, go into chapter 2. I want to show you something. Starting in verse 4 and 5. I want to explain something to you that some people overlook. Are you there? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Come to Him as to a living stone. This is Jesus. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also. Jesus was the chief cornerstone, living stone of God. You also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house. So you and I are being built a spiritual house, not a carnal fleshly house, but all of us together are the house of God. God inhabits me as a living stone. I'm the temple of the Most High God. This is His sanctuary. He dwells here. And Fred is, and you are, and all of us are together. And then He takes all of us together to make His temple, right? Amen. Look at this. Verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up what? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. What is a spiritual sacrifice? Exactly. A lot of people really overlook that and don't realize the significance of that. A spiritual sacrifice. I haven't given you the answer yet. The sacrifice of praise, that's one. That is actually one. That we need to give the sacrifice of praise. We no longer kill flesh and blood animals, right? To cover our conscience before God. We no longer do that. But God still honors a sacrifice. Every time a sacrifice was given, God moved greatly in the Old Testament, right? Even before they went to war, they waited to make sacrifices first. Remember how Saul got in trouble for that? Because he didn't wait for the prophet to come? It's really important in the Old Testament that God honors our sacrifices. We don't give sacrifices that are of no value. We don't go through tribulations that mean nothing to God. They're very important to Him. I'm not saying He puts you through tribulation. I'm saying He honors the tribulation you go through. Is that, do you get the difference? So here's a spiritual sacrifice. As the devil is beaten on my mind, I lay down my right to defend myself to the devil. And I say what God says instead. When I let go of the old man, the spirit of this world who has groomed my mind and my emotions up till this point in my life through hurts, traumas, inconsiderate people, financial devastations, all kinds of things have happened, car wrecks, premature deaths in my family, all these things that happen that the devil gets into my heart and mind and hurts me, those things I have to give up. I have to let them go. That's a spiritual sacrifice to God. And it's holy and it's acceptable to Him. Forgiving Catman, yes. That was a spiritual sacrifice. I could have brooded over it and stewed over it and stayed that way and built a 10-foot brick wall and waited till the city made me tear it down. I could have done that. But instead, I died to myself, my right to be inflamed against Him. And I gave it up. That the Lord honors. He honors that. It's valuable to Him. Why? Because it's purifying His temple. It's purifying my soul. It's purifying my mind. You've got to remember, He dwells here inside of me and you. Therefore, He keeps a clean house. You remember, He braided the whip and drove the money changers out of the temple, and He was justified in doing so. He doesn't want any of us to let the world be our tutor. He wants us to be cleansed of all that stuff. He starts off with the vile things that we should automatically not be doing anymore, but He even gets to the emotional things, even malice or envy or jealousy. Any of these angers, just outbursts of wrath, we shouldn't even be doing those. We're not allowed to just get mad and blow up. You know that? We need to get all that stuff out. That's a spiritual sacrifice by denying ourselves the right to do those things and to let it go before God. Amen? Amen. So, this is a two-sided coin that we're walking on, if I can say it that way. There's a heads and a tails to the life that we live. Now, we can do the surely goodness and mercy will overtake me all the days of my life, because that is absolutely true. But at the same time I'm walking in that anointing of who I am in the Spirit, I'm at the very same time letting go of my old man identity. Are you with me? I have to cleanse that stuff out of my heart. Not go chasing after it. When it comes up to try to trip me up, That's when I give the word of God back to it again, just like Jesus did. And I say what God said about who I am in the Spirit. And as I get a lifestyle of doing that, I see more fruit in my life. Because less and less does my conscience condemn me. Less and less do I feel like I'm powerless. And more I recognize the things of God are true. More and more I feel the presence of God around me, though I don't use the feeling as whether he's around me or not. But I've noticed the more that I meditate on his word, the more that I fellowship with him, the more I acknowledge him in all of my ways. I had to take time to start acknowledging the Lord in everything I was doing. Not asking him for approval, acknowledging him and doing it with him. When I get mad, I invite him into me being mad. And I say, Lord, what do you think about this? They did da-da-da-da-da. He goes, I think you shouldn't be doing da-da-da-da-da. I said, Lord, what do you think about the way they're treating me? I think you should be thinking about how much I love you. He always, always, always turns it back on me. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. He'll take care of that stuff if I just let it loose and let him deal with it. It's not my responsibility to fix anybody. It's my responsibility to believe Jesus and do as the Holy Spirit leads me. That's my responsibility in the world. I have a ministry, and you have a ministry. And you know, there's no way you can get away from the fact that you have a ministry. No matter who you say you are, no matter what giftings or elections or callings you believe you have a ministry, which is the ministry of reconciliation. What is that ministry of reconciliation? Well, let me explain reconciliation to you. Forgiveness only relies on one participant. Forgiveness does not mean there's an exchange between the two to make something right. Forgiveness is one party releases the other party. That's forgiveness. If you had a debt and they forgive your debt, you don't forgive the company for having a debt, right? You receive their forgiveness of that debt, right? It's one-sided. When somebody hurts you, you forgive the person that's hurt you. They're under no obligation to change, to repent, to tell you why they did it, or to give you any answer that satisfies you at all. They're under no obligation. You've chosen to release them like I did my neighbor so that I'm not poisoned by it. Because the spirit of this world wants to keep me enslaved as a man or woman of the earth and not as a spiritual son of righteousness. If I can't forgive that person, I lock myself into the spirit of this world, ruling my emotions and my mind. That's why I don't judge. If I don't judge, then I'm not under the bondage of a judgment. I am above the person. Not, I don't mean like a class or anything. I'm not in the minutia of that problem if I don't make a decision about how that thing is. Okay? So forgiveness is one-sided. Let's just say he and I got in a squimish and I hurt his feelings. And I know I hurt his feelings. I can go to him and ask him to forgive me, right? And restore the relationship we have. Okay? It's my fault. I did something stupid and it offended him. Okay, it's on me to make it right. Okay, so I ask him to forgive me. He forgives me. It's over. Okay, but if I never went to him and I offended him and I walk away because I'm just that kind of brash, inconsiderate, self-absorbed person that I didn't even know I trampled all over him. So I walk away completely fine, not even knowing there's an issue. But he's demolished. It's on him to forgive me. Now he releases me because he's the prisoner of that poison. I'm not. You get it? Reconciliation is different than that. Reconciliation is when both parties come into an agreement that it's clean between us and we're restored in peace and harmony together as one again. That's reconciliation, to be reconnected as one, not just letting go of the poisons or the toxins, to be reconnected in a spirit of peace between us again. So we're one, we're in fellowship. There's no, I'm better than you, you're better than me. All of that's gone. We're one again. I love you, buddy. That's reconciliation, right? And we have that ministry. Go to John 17. John chapter 17. Oh, I better scooch along, shouldn't I? John 17. I want to look at a couple of verses in John 17. I love the book of John. In John 17, let's look at verse 11. This is Jesus, and this is last main time that he's with his disciples before he's going to be crucified. So 14, 15, 16, and 17 is where he is giving them that last piece of vital information before he goes. In verse 11 it says, "Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are." How was Jesus and the Father one? He didn't do anything that he didn't see the Father do. He didn't say anything that the Father didn't tell him to do. He perfectly followed the Father and represented the Father on the earth, right? Wasn't Jesus the embodiment of the Father? We need to be the embodiment of Jesus by putting on Christ and living Christ in the earth. Going on to verse 14, just jump on down. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." Who's the evil one? Satan. How does he mess with you? In your mind. Verse 16. "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Stop for a second. In John chapter 8, verse 23, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, right? And he says, "You are from beneath, I am from above." And he went on to say that your father is the devil because he's the god of this world, right? So the spirit of this age, the god of this world, is the one who is tempting Jesus in the wilderness, right? He's also the one that's going to try to get you and I to identify as not being one with God, being separate, and being flawed and fallible, okay? He's going to try to get us in that arena. We just need to agree with our adversary quickly and say, "You're absolutely right. I'm all those things. Thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ and the blood that cleanses me from all of that stuff. And I'm righteous in the name of God. And I walk even as Christ walks on the earth now." That stuff's true. Let it go. Agree with him quickly. Be reconciled to God and walk in the power of God. Right? This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. That I am not in the world. That he just said, they're on this planet. They're of the world. Or they're in the world. They're not of the world. Right? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. Is sickness in heaven? Is poverty in heaven? Are there bad relationships in heaven? Do you get your feelings offended in heaven? Do you have mental breakdowns in heaven? No. None of those things happen in heaven. Where's heaven? Here. Right here. Right here. Heaven's right here. When we talk to the Lord, where is he? He's here. His spirit leads us from right here. The kingdom of God is right here. Right? Everything we're talking about that God is, it's right here. But do I believe that? I can say those words, but do I believe it? That's me. That's me. It's all true for me. And I need to get in this Bible, and I need to read it, and I need to quote it, and I need to chew on it and think about it and talk to you about it and let you talk to me about it, and that I can just really walk in this anointing. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. It's 7 o'clock on the button. And if I was an obedient student of the Holy Spirit, I would be done now. Do what? It sure is. And you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission too, right? No, I'm kidding. No, it's not. No. I will. So let me just sum it up really quickly, okay? So here's the thing that I've been noticing, is that the more that I'm acknowledging Jesus, the more that I'm receiving what God has for me, the more I'm allowing it to be true. I even go a step further to seeing that I've already got it. You know how we talked in faith about the musicians and all these great musicians came up and started being a part? We were doing CDs for music, you guys, weren't we? Remember that? And we had the singers singing to the CDs, and Pastor Trey was leading for a while. And we just had CDs and some backup singers. None of that was going on. None of that. And what did we do? We did this little thing, and you can do this too. Last little thing. I did it this way. And I said, this is today right here. This is the day that we're in right now. April 15th, 2018. Is that the date today?
Yes.
Okay. April 15th, 2018. Here we are today. Take your life and see it as if the Holy Spirit just poured himself out on you in a physical way that you can't even contain. And your life, the abundance of God overtakes your life, and you're doing miracles, healings, speaking comfort to people and prophesying. Your finances are just exploding and prosperity is everywhere. You're so generous and kind to people. You are the proof that the kingdom of God is on the earth in men and women, because you live such a godly, generous, fun-loving, joyful life. Okay? And go down 5 years from now and see that as the truth, that you're standing 5 years later and going, remember April 15th, 2018, when we talked about this stuff? Remember that day and how good this life is? I didn't know this life could be that wonderful. I didn't know God would manifest so strongly through me. I didn't know I would see so many people raised from the dead and healed. This is a great life, walking with the Holy Spirit on the earth. And feel how exciting that is, that all of this history we've got of this church exploding full of people, the life of God, the love of God, people talking about us, and all of Macon. We're making the news because there's so much anointing and life here. People are just driving in and hearing about us in other parts of the country because the anointing is so strong here. Think of how great that feels, that that's true. And then take that. And on April 15, 2018, have that reality today. Feel it, see it, speak it as a thankful finished deed, and bring that reality to today. All right? When you do that, you will see that starting to pop up. The Holy Spirit will give you ideas. He'll quote verses. You can hear a verse. He'll introduce you to people. Stuff will start finding its way to you to bring that to pass. He'll start bringing stuff to all of us so we interact so that comes to pass. Because we're declaring the end from the very, very beginning. We did that with the worship team, didn't we, guys? We sure did. And this stage, from time to time, is busting full of people. Just busting. We got so full for a couple of weeks there that we didn't have enough microphones for everybody. It was so full and packed with people, right? We spoke that into existence. And God just started bringing people. and started doing situations, right? Because as a congregation, we did that. What do you want in your life? Do you want to see yourself completely healed? Do you want to see yourself financially free? What do you want in your life? What do you really want? What have you been asking God for? What have you been believing for? What have you been wrestling with that you don't want it in your life anymore? See yourself completely the way you want your life to go. How do you want it to go? Do you want to be pain-free? See yourself here rejoicing that the Lord healed you and you're pain-free and there's no more sign of any feebleness in your body. You are whole, perfect, and complete. Own that reality and the joy of having that today. And then bring it back here and start living it right now. When the signs of it, there's no evidence of it, go to the future, get the truth of it, and bring it back here. And you will see your life change. Gotcha? The thoughts that try to get you to stop, to give up, to get all dull again, to let it go, to find out why it's not going to happen. Science says, the doctor said, the banker says, my neighbor said, that's of this world. Put it down. It's a sacrifice. Just let it go. Just sacrifice it. Let it go. Kill it. Just let it go. So what? That's the reality I'm going in. And let that show up as truth in your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. That was my last thing.